What's up, y'all? Jeffrey at Jeffrey TV coming to you on a Tuesday. Just got through walking through traffic. People pulling through a intersection and was blocking the busway and was backing up into the pedestrian, and I'm walking. Of course, the do not walk sign was turned red. I wasn't supposed to walk, but I don't care. I do what I want to do. No, I don't. I adhere to the rules. I just wanted to say happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm starting to realize I need more sleep than I think I do. 8 hours ain't enough. 8 hours ain't enough. Maybe I need more downtime, just more relaxation time, but I need more than 8 hours. I get up at 9. I give myself like 3 hours before I have to punch in and work. And half of that time, I'm out here walking, doing this. And then I get home, give myself an hour to shower, get dressed, you know, dip up my food, put my food together, and maybe eat some, because I can eat while I work. So, you know, I never take a break to eat. Never use my lunch to eat. Never use my lunch time to eat. Never take a break to eat. And a few times, I don't even take a break to go to the bathroom. There's certain ways we can finagle the call queue to be in a certain status that allow you to sneak into the bathroom. And I'm talking about a sit down, of course. You know, a quick urination. Hell, you can squeeze those in anytime. Boom, 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 boom. I've even done it while I was live, available. Ran in there real quick, check the queue, see my position in the queue. Run in there, take a quick piss, run back in. Yeah, probably should wash my hands more. But you can't wash your hands if you're unavailable because you don't have enough time. But anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, my time when I get home, eat and get myself, you know, a lot of time. But anyway, the reason I cut this on, why do I always do that? I always go into these long, drawn out, twisted turns of experience and dwell into deep detail of such mundane activities. My cousin Keegan told me I'll be doing that. He said, you just be going to such detail in the most ordinary thing. Yes, that's what I do. And I said, it's Seinfeldish. That's what Seinfeld did. And I like Seinfeld's comedy, to be quite frankly with you. But I do like that. I do like exploring the parts and possibilities and dissecting and going through the little things in life, the so-called little things in life. But anyway, I know that, you know, this ain't life's first rodeo. It ain't even my first rodeo. It's nothing new, probably. But the rhetoric and the conversation right now in my Facebook feed, I don't want to say on social media, but it probably, my news feed is probably a reflection of the overall tenor of social media right now. Is the rhetoric or the conversation is vile. No, it's not vile. It's not vile. It's not vile. Take that back. It's not vile. That's the wrong word. I was just trying to be poetic and slick. It's concerning to me. Very concerning. The fact, well, the part that a lot of people think that the assassination was staged. So many people think that it's alarming to me for some reason. For some reason, that particular thing is alarming to me. Probably more alarming than when I saw black people celebrating the riverfront walk brawl, when all those black people went out there and beat up the white people and black people were celebrating that. That was concerning to me, but I don't think it was as concerning as this, because I think the ramifications are on a different level. It's like, okay, say you're MAGA, and, you know, for the sake of, you know, this story, you know, you look at Donald Trump is your Jesus, your Savior, the one who's going to, you know, lead your Moses, the one who's going to lead you out of, you know, slavery, or lead you into prominence, or get you out of the situation you're in. That's your representative. To have him almost assassinated, somebody that you feel, you know, is very special. And I don't want to use the word reverent with Donald Trump, because, you know, I may like him. You know, I definitely do not like him. I definitely do not like him. Well, that's everybody. How can you say that? It's not that I don't like him. I definitely don't like him. How do you say that you don't like somebody, that you don't like somebody? Well, anyway. And I mean, somebody that you find, you know, reverent, and it's important. And this was like a monumental moment. And then you turn around and half the population say it was fake and he staged it. It's like he's not worthy of such integrity or whatever respect, that the man was almost killed and almost half the population is taking it as a farce, like he staged it. And not only that, that they sacrificed people, that they would sacrifice people to do that. And they comparing it to memes. The memes are out there, you know. Some of the memes are satirical and funny. But I don't like the amount of people or the amount of conversation that says it was fake. That disturbs me. That disturbs me. Because I think that this should be a respect and a reverence for the event, for the person in the event, as another human being, basically, to have the reverence and respect that another human being was, you know, almost lost their life, and to have such a large part of the population think it was just fake, or just like it didn't, you know, it wasn't real. And I kind of understand why they did that, or why they're doing that, because the event was so monumental that it should win him the election. In fact, I was watching Stephen A. And Stephen A even said that picture won him the election. He said him with the flag in the back behind him and all that. He said that just won him the election. I felt the same way. And I understand that, you know, there are Democrats out there who've been programmed to believe that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. He's a racist. He's going to have us all back picking cotton. We all going to have, you know, be slaves, and Jesus going to be all in the classrooms, abortions. I mean, they just got him pinned as this crazy ultra-conservative dictatorish. They just painted him as such a bad picture. I mean, and both sides, I think, and maybe more the Democrats, as it should, realize that the rhetoric and the conversation has gone too far. And they pulled back. They definitely pulled back. They pulled their ads. And they're definitely making a reckoning now. And more than one commentator said, thank God he didn't die. Thank God he didn't die. Because that would set it off. The MAGA folks, it would set it off. I mean, you almost can't blame them. You know, you almost can't blame them. Something like that happened, it would completely set it off. So, because Van Jones said, he said, thank God he didn't die. Because they know. So, and then you got so many people on my Facebook that are just so, okay, I'm going to put this the wrong way because I'm speaking subjectively and kind of from my heart or how I feel. They're so twisted in what they're thinking and what, you know, the Project 2025 and, oh, watch Project 2025. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I know this has been going on for years and years and years. And this ain't the first time. But this one seems different. This one seems different. And, of course, you can say that about all of them because they all seem different. If you think about it, they all are different. Each of them is going to be greater on a different magnitude or a different scale than the previous one. It's obviously going to grow. But this one, and just the, I guess, disrespect or the lack of respect for the event. A man almost lost his life. And for you to just say it's fake, I don't believe it. It was staged. I just don't operate that way. I can't do that. I can't do that. You know, it's just something in me that won't allow me to belittle an event like that, especially when somebody lost their life or could have been killed. And is it possible it was staged? If anything, if you ask me, it was staged on the Democratic side, where the Secret Service may have been set up to allow this. If anything, it was staged. I don't think it was staged. If it was set up, I believe it was set up by the Democrats. Oh, all of a sudden the shooter is a registered Republican. If anything, if that's the way I'm leading, you know, maybe my sympathies are towards Donald Trump. Who knows? Maybe they are. Maybe I hear so much him demonized and so unrealistically, and the information I hear against him is just so phenomenally overblown. And it's like with the George Clinton stuff, the evil he said he used to do, and stuff he used to do to people. I'm like, I don't think it's possible for one person to be all that. How can one person get away? I'm like, I don't think Mr. Clinton or Jesus Christ himself can do half of the stuff y'all accuse him of doing. I'm not saying he did or he didn't. I wasn't there. I'm just saying there's a lot for one person to be able to do. And calling him Hitler. I mean, calling Trump Hitler and all that stuff. I'm just saying. See what I'm saying? If anything. And then you got people, and then, of course, you got people on the right obviously saying, you know, conspiracy too. And they're probably saying the conspiracy that I probably am, if there is one, if there was something to it, the one I'm leaning to is that the Secret Service was in on it. Biden or somebody. I love Hillary Clinton and I love Bill Clinton, but it sounds like something the Clintons would do, because I watch House of Cards and I believe that in politics and the money involved and the stakes that come into play, that people have been killed to get through an agenda. And I'll even go as far as to say people have been killed to benefit a large part of the population, to where the opportunity cost of the return on investment, quote unquote, may be worth the life of that one or two or three persons to serve millions, or to get this through, or to protect that, or to save this. So if anything, that's kind of where I'm at. And I'm looking at, you know, the MAGA people and the Trump supporters. I mean, they got their gear together. They be looking good. The shirts, and the red, white, and blue, and the Trump-style stuff. And I mean, they got it together. You know, first it was kind of raggedy, but now, you know, they got the symbolism and the attire, and they're coming together. And I'm seeing a part of the population that I don't usually see. And to put it crudely, it's that overweight white family, obese white family from the Midwest, with limited variation in their gene pool and lineage. And that's not a slur or I'm not capping on them. It's just the way I want to describe it. To see them near the rally and to see them represented, just to see them, period, I think is, I guess, good for America and good for, they need to be recognized. I think they need to be acknowledged that they do exist, that they are a part of America, and that they haven't been forgotten, which they have, which they have. So there's something going on. It's just something. And I also saw a commentator on one of those arguing kind of news shows where they present, well, Counterpoint kind of, you know, news shows where they have different people from different perspectives kind of matched up against each other. She was arguing that Donald Trump is really a moderate. You know, he's really a moderate, not, you know, a ultra-conservative thing. He's really like a moderate. I thought that was my mail guy. I thought that was my the mailman I've been walking and seeing here for a couple years. When I walk up and down here, I seen him, you know, we walk past each other, say hi. And you do it so many times, you actually got to say something at some point, you know. I thought that was him because I saw him when I was walking the other day. I think last week I was walking in another route, completely other direction. And he rode by and blew the horn. I was like, oh, what's up? But anyway, Spirit Airlines. Can you see it? Spirit Airlines. I'm just looking at Spirit now. Can you see it? Where's it at? See it a little bit? Spirit Airlines. Yeah, I was just talking, uh-oh, it's gonna be zoomed in. Oh boy, I gotta go back. Spirit Airlines. Because I'm thinking about flying back for like a city class reunion. They're having a city class reunion at South High School. South High School is one of those big, huge brick high schools that were built in Ohio, Youngstown. I love those big brick buildings. Huge, cathedral-like, just, you know, dominating presence that I walk by and take pictures of. It's about every time I'm back there. And they're having a reunion there for all the city schools. And they're saying we get to tour the building. And I really want to go inside the building. So I was looking up airfare, and would you know it? Airfare, I can get a round trip for $87. I'm like, damn, the only thing with that is I would land in, and I would only, might be able to get away with only using like an hour, hour and a half of PTO. The only thing about that is I would land at 5 o'clock in the morning in Pittsburgh, and the rental car place don't open until 8 a.m. So I'd have to get a ride or something like that and work out the logistics. You know, I don't know, fly back to see granddaughter for only a day or two. You know, because usually I come back there, I'm there for a couple weeks. I'm only going to see her for a day or two. Or, you know, I don't know how we'd handle that, because it might be traumatic for her, for me to come there and then leave, you know. But, yeah, so, and that was Spirit Airlines. That's what I was just Googling. So, like I said, what's going on? Definitely has me concerned. And I'm sure it probably had me concerned before with George W. Bush. You know, 9/11 stuff. Obama stuff. You know, Hillary Clinton stuff. I'm sure this ain't the first time. Let's just be real about that. Let's just be real about that. I'm sure this ain't the first time. But, I keep wanting to use the word rhetoric, R-H-E-T-O-R-I-C, I learned how to spell it. and the conversation has gone to be so volatile and just, I mean, it's like the level of misinformation or misbelief. I mean, just because, and I'm probably saying it, just because they don't see it the way I do, it probably has a lot to do with it. And I can admit that. But just because I come at it from that sideways perspective doesn't mean the idea isn't quote unquote valid or a worthy one to take note of. I am truly concerned. I am truly concerned. Because it seems to be escalating. And if this is just a step, you know, where's the next step going to lead us? Where's the next step going to lead us? And that's just a natural progression of life. And it should be, quote unquote, normal. We should be used to it. You know, we're going to evolve to deeper and deeper conversations. And it's going to get this way. And it's going to get that way. And we just have to be ready for it. But we don't have to do anything, but we, and whether we're ready for it or not, it's still going to happen. So, you know, how you want to handle it? How do you want to go through it? What's the best way to handle this so that the most maximum benefit, whatever that is, that's completely relative, but the maximum benefit is to us. I was just thinking about something else. I was thinking about my job yesterday. I had a conversation with my supervisor, and basically it comes down to me questioning the strength of leadership. And I told my supervisor straight on, you know. I told her straight on. I got to tell the truth. You know, me and her are cool like that. But I had to tell her. You know, you might not have it. I told her, like, she's the kind of person who, you know, outside of work, maybe at the club or hanging out, you know, be the kind that I've been attracted to hang with. But as a supervisor, you gotta have that ability to draw a line and to almost have a kind of a fear. People need to fear you. You know, when you come in a room, people need to sit up straight. And it's fear, respect, whatever the word is. But anyhow, how'd I come down that line? Not sure why. I was just thinking about that, our conversation yesterday. It was good just to have that conversation. Because I love my job. I love my job. And I have the greatest amount of respect for my job. And I told her that respect has been waning the last few, you know, ever since my former supervisor left. Because my former supervisor was one of my favorites. And I don't even know why. I mean, one of my favorites of all time. And I don't even know why. You know, and it wasn't nothing funny, like I was attracted to or anything strange or, you know, I ain't gonna say strange or weird or twisted like that. It wasn't that. It was just something about the situation. Maybe the professionalism, the way we handled it. Something I couldn't figure it out. And then the integrity of our relationship, we kept it professional, kept it at a certain level, but we were able to, you know, be free and express ourselves back and forth. And, you know, it seemed really good. Kind of like a friendship, but I understand that it can't be a friendship because I got to do everything she say and she ain't got to do nothing I say. So that's not friendship. That right there puts a twist on everything. But And after her gone, I realized it was her integrity and work style. Basically, she was never wrong. And something in me that I didn't even realize respected that deeply. I respected that deeply. Every time she would send me a message or text or, Jeffrey, I need to see you or talk to you, I knew she caught me. I did something incorrect. I don't want to say wrong, but I knew I did something incorrect because I do hold myself at the highest, you know, level of excellence and beacon and perfection. I don't even want, this mistake. You know, everybody makes a mistake every now and then, blah, blah, blah. I don't even want to hear that. I don't even want to hear those. You know? So, I have respect for her, this and that. But if she was to say something, throw something at me, I'm still trying to hit it back. And I never could. She always had it just down. You know, all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted. I'd be like, damn. So that's what I would walk into every day. And I didn't realize how much or how important that was to me to have that kind of leadership. Or how special that leadership was to me because of the way I operate. And the way not only I operate, but the way it made the whole team operate. You know, the way it made the whole team operate. That part. I'm just thinking about something else we were talking about yesterday. About there may or may not be a disgruntled employee who's voicing their opinion. And she asked me, had I come across any of that? And I was like, no. What are specifics? Are they right? I was like, is he correct? Because things are changing. Anyway, you know, I like going different places with my conversation and talk. But it's going to be a fun season. It's going to be fun. Whether they're going to keep... I was watching Biden with Lester Holt, too. Grumpy old man. That old man, he ain't... That was pathetic. He only 3 years older than Trump, but oh my God, he shouldn't brag about that. He shouldn't bring that up, because the difference between him physically and cognitively, at least visually, looking at him, the way he move, act, talk, his blinking, when you go to say, and that's not stuttering. That's struggling to find the right words mentally. And then all of a sudden you turn around like a Trump, virile. You don't make that kind of comparison no more, Mr. Biden, President Biden. I wouldn't make that comparison that you're only 3 years older than him. Because he's like far, far, far exceeding what you are. Vibrantly and physically and cognitively, it looks like capability, whatever. He's like, Lester Holt, what do you mean? Come on. Get off of me. He's like, all right. He's like, get off of me. You know, come on, Lester. You know, da 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 da. Like, oh, Lester, da da da. I'm like, no, Lester. You know, he's like, old man. And I'm like, you know, he sound like an old man. He sound like a get off my grass, you old guy kind of person. And it just sounded so out of it, just so far away from it all. You know, like he's from another era or something. And it wasn't good. And they put that out. And Lester Holt sandbagged on us. Lester Holt didn't even go after him. He was being nice. I guess he's an NBC commentator. So, you know, he ain't gonna go at him with both barrels. So, that's how that went. But anyway, I feel good. It's Tuesday. I think my weight is down. I think I'm out here every day doing what I'm doing. It's working. It's not working maybe as fast as I wanted to. and I have my setbacks, and I kind of maybe get overly dramatic about it, but it's working in the long run. I here getting my 10,000 steps, 16,000 doing work days. I worked all 5 days last week. Hopefully I'll work all five, you know, for the next coming few weeks, build up my PTO, build up my stamina. And I was saying, I think I was saying the other day, I'm older now. It probably takes a couple weeks for me to get back to where I need to be when I go off so far, either calorie wise or eating wise, putting weight on wise, mentally, physiologically, psychologically, whatever. It may take a week or so for me to get back to that, to work myself back into shape. And I mean more so than just physically, because I can get out here and do the walk. That's no problem. But mentally, to get my mojo back up, or to get my motivation up, and you know, get off work and don't just want to run to eat and sleep. You know, we get up with a little bit more energy every day after work, a little bit more energy every day after work. I can do stuff, do more. And it's probably, and I think it's because I'm sleeping a lot more. I'm going to bed 9:30, 10 o'clock. You know, and I think it gives me time just to lay there and not do nothing. And it's getting to the point where I can't. TV is boring to me now. You know, all these shows, I usually watch my Steeler podcast, but it's dead season now. That means there can be no NFL activity, so there's really nothing for them to commentate on. You know, that usually, I like news stuff, even if it's sports, something that's current. You know, and the shows that's on now, the only one I'm gonna watch is House of Dragon. That one, you know, unequivocally a must watch. You know, that one gets me going every time. But the other ones, I'm just like, yeah, blah, 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 whatever. Maybe I need to start watching a comedy. I probably need to start watching a comedy. You know, something light, like Billions. Billions is good, but the dialogue is so dense, you only can watch the 2 episodes at a time before you're exhausted keeping up with the sayings. They even slipped George Clinton in there one time. A judge broke down, you know, about George Clinton and something. So, you know, I mean, if you listen to some of the, you know, cliches or references they make, it's deep. You don't want to miss none. And plus the storyline is entwined in there. It's good. It's a good show. But, you know, sometimes I like a little bit more something fantasy, or not fantasy, but like science fiction, you know, in that realm. One show that I love watching with my mother is that Chicago Fire. Chicago Fire is like right perfectly in there. Enough drama, enough cheesiness, you know, enough mature subject matter, playfulness, characters. I can sit there and watch Chicago Fire with my mother. You know, we sit there and watch 3-4 episodes. We watch 2-3 episodes. I'd be like, ah, still talking to Casey and Severide. Who else? Casey, Severide, Mouch. I know them all. I just can't think of them now. Of course, the Chief. Who's the other dude? The one who got the, Don, is her name Don? The one, the Mexican girl who's sleeping with everybody. Okay, I'm only on season 2. Leave me alone. I'm only on season 2. And I know it's like 17 seasons, so get off me. Anyhow, my name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Feeling good out here in my sweatsuit. Mr. Scale told me 219.2 this morning. I think that was down 2 pounds from yesterday or something like that. One pound, almost close to 2 pounds yesterday. And it's only Tuesday, which is pretty good. But it's going to, once again, come back to this weekend. I'll probably be good Monday through Friday. And then to get off work Friday night and see what happens. I get another weekend to myself and I'm gonna love it. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see how I handle it. See, I'm already looking towards the weekend. It's only Tuesday. I go into work. Well, I can't. You know what? We go to work once a week. Sometimes I'll be forgetting. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta go to work. I gotta go in the office tomorrow. And sure enough, I gotta go in the office tomorrow. That week comes around fast. And that means if I'm going to work, it's gonna be food. It's probably gonna be food. But if I eat at work and don't eat when I get home, that kind of works out. But we'll see. We shall see. Anyway, swing on y'all. Two times. For me and for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all, theory of universe, hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.